At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
What's trending?
Yeah, dang!
Brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly's certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today.
Number one on what's trending, the AL and NL Rookie of the Year announced yesterday. No surprise on the AL side, Nick Kurtz of the A's, the Rookie of the Year. Drake Baldwin, someone said, hey, you guys were talking about Missouri State earlier. There you go, Drake Baldwin, catcher for the Braves, the National League Rookie of the Year. Noah Cameron finished fourth in AL Rookie of the Year voting. We will talk more about that and the value that Noah Cameron has to this organization and perhaps other organizations here in about 30 minutes or so.
Could be. Number two, the Royals did make a move for an outfielder. Is it one that's going to move the needle? Not likely. But the Royals did acquire Cam Meisner from the Tampa Bay Rays for a player to be named later or cash considerations. He is a career 200 hitter in around 80 major league games. The biggest, you know, the best part of the story, I guess you could say, is that the Royals actually drafted him back in 2016 when he was a high school senior in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. He obviously declined that offer, went to Mizzou, where 4 years later he became a first-round pick of the Miami Marlins. So a Missouri kid who the Royals drafted a decade ago, coming back to the team. They put him on the 40-man roster. Is he going to end up being an everyday player? I highly doubt it, but you never know.
Yeah, it's organizational depth. Bring him into spring training out in Arizona. See what he looks like. See everybody else looks. Does he, you know, is he going to be something that comes off the bench? Is he going to start in AAA or in play there? Yeah, it's a fine move, but it's nothing to freak out about either way is what I would say. All right, elsewhere, number three on what's trending, Mecole Hardman, former Chief, signing with the Buffalo Bills practice squad. The Steelers have also released former Chief Juan Thornhill. He is now headed to waivers. If he clears, he will be a free agent. So some movement with former Chiefs players. Look, Mecole Hardman, you got to take the job wherever the job is. I know some Chiefs fans, I don't know why, on Twitter were like upset. I'm like, dude, this guy's got to earn a living still. Come on now. He's on the practice squad. Obviously, you hope that he doesn't help out the Bills too much. But there you go, Mecole Hardman with Buffalo.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that Mecole Hardman might be able to help the Bills with is if there was a playoff game in January, he'd just be in all the defensive meetings that week trying to give tidbits into the Chiefs offense. But I don't really see a lot of help from Mecole Hardman outside of that. Number four, how about the Dallas Mavericks? Roughly a year after they should have made this move, it appears they are going to fire general manager Nico Harrison. In fact, it has been made official less than a year after he made one of the most notorious deals in the history of sports, for that matter, trading Luka Doncic to the Los Angeles Lakers. They had him hang around just long enough to draft Cooper Flagg and are now giving the man his walking papers.
The home environment, too, by the way, if you haven't watched a game yet this year when they're at home, it's really bad.
Volatile.
It's really bad. Like, I think they kind of had to make this move. Like, even if they wanted to wait, they had no choice. The game,
they were
winning a game. They could be winning games, and the fans are still chanting "Fire Nico."
They were winning against the Bucks last. They were beating the Bucks last night, and during a timeout, a "Fire Nico" chant broke out in the arena.
They had to do it. I just don't get it. The trade, obviously, but you allow them and then also make a draft pick. Not that it was confusing who they were going to draft, but you get my point. Like, you let them make the draft pick, you let them continue through the offseason, and now, about a month into the season, you fire him. So, like, it's not an issue with him being fired. It's just, why I don't get why now.
I think it's because of the home court. They were more worried about chanting "Fire Nico" than they were rooting their own team.
But
which
again,
I think
they should have fired him in the offseason.
I agree with that, but I don't think they actually wanted to. And then they realized how bad the situation was, and it was like, okay, we need to make a move because they got to start cheering this team on instead of just chanting "Fire Nico."
I think they wanted to see if, like, the Cooper Flagg influx into the team would sort of alleviate some of those issues. Maybe it would bring some fans back. And it hasn't. They were still just as upset as they were at the end of last year following the trade. It hasn't gone away. The sentiment, they've got to get the fans back if you're the Dallas Mavericks.
Elsewhere on What's Trending, Major League Baseball announced they have an agreement with multiple major sports book for a nationwide cap of $200 maximum on pitch level market wagers. These micro bets, this all, of course, stems from Emmanuel Clase, Luis Ortiz, and the FBI investigation where they allegedly were intentionally throwing balls, tipping off people ahead of time, and that would go and bet pregame. There were text messages sent during games, phone calls during games as well. So basically, if you want to bet, hey, this first pitch from X pitcher is going to be a ball, you can do that, but they cannot be in parlays anymore, and you cannot bet more than $200 on those. So I think this is more about the optics than anything. Like, I think this solves everything? Of course not, but I think it got to a point, and the same thing applies on the NBA side, if in fact the NBA does something like this with the sports books on limiting some of the unders. It's gotten so bad now where it's not just good enough for the sports books to just sit back and not do anything. There has to at least be the optics of them trying to work with the leagues to limit some of this. This does not alleviate all of it, as we've discussed. You can bet offshore still. People will. You can, you know, if you're trying to get in a bet more than $200, people have syndicates that can make bets. Like, this is not solving everything, but I do think it's a step in the right direction and maybe appease some of the people that are very concerned, of course, about this.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like something that you can attack with one thing and that's going to solve all the problems. I'm not sure there's anything that you can do that's going to solve all the problems. People that are going to want to do this are going to continue to find ways to do these things. You can't rid yourself of it entirely, but steps in the right direction are just that, and you have to take them at face value and hope that for at least a few guys who may consider this in the future, it's going to stop them short of ultimately crossing that line.
If you missed our conversation with Vinny Pasquantino, our NFL insider, earlier today, I encourage you to check it out on the podcast page. We asked him about the Emmanuel Clase investigation, betting around sports, what teams in the league and the Player Association tells players. I thought it was very interesting stuff from Vinny, his perspective on what is going on in sports right now around the betting side of things.
Last one we've got for you, number six. The Cleveland Browns said today that they are not going to be opening the 21-day practice window for Deshaun Watson. The ACL, or the Achilles progress for him, does continue, but head coach Kevin Stefanski doesn't seem super open to the idea, at least as of right now, opening it up. And why would you be? You're
done.
Not going to make the playoffs. Just if you want him back at some point, which I'm not entirely sure would be the smartest idea, but you rope this horse with the guaranteed money, wait for next year when at least you have on paper a chance to be competitive, because this year it's dead in the water.
That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Drew Nixon with you. Logan Weber filling in for Cody today and for a couple shows over the next week or so. At 1 o'clock today, Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from ESPN, going to join us. We'll ask him what he's hearing on the Josh Simmons front. Does he expect him to play Sunday? Same with Isaiah Pacheco. We'll also talk more in depth about the Broncos in that matchup Sunday afternoon, which you can hear here on 96.5 The Fan. Before we get to all 32, the Super Bowl odds at this point, we can take a look at it and see if they correlate with our list that we made. But heading into week 11 now, this all started with me wondering if the Ravens should be back in the Super Bowl contender conversation. They've won three in a row. They are still not in the playoffs. They're still not leading their division, but they are starting to get going. The Steelers look very vulnerable. It's a bad AFC North this year in terms of no team is out there running ahead. It looks like 10 wins will win you the North. 9 maybe, depending on if everything fell. But 10, I would say you feel very, very good about your chances to win the North. And so are the Ravens with a new MVP quarterback, with an experienced head coach, are they good enough to be a Super Bowl contender? So that's how it started. And then I tried to make my list of Super Bowl contenders. And initially, I had like 8. I was like, I can't have 8 teams as Super Bowl contenders. Because I do think it is more open than it's been in a long time.
Agreed.
So that's why I was like, can it be 8? I just feel in general, if I ask you about Super Bowl contenders and I give you 9 or, you know, 8 or 9, it's like, well, dude, you're giving me a quarter of the league here. What are you doing? But at the same time, like, I think that is how open it is. So I tried to narrow it down a little bit. We don't have to run through our exact reasoning on a couple of these. I think some of them are obvious, but like I have the Chiefs still as a clear Super Bowl contender. I think you guys kind of know the reasons why that might be. The Rams, co-favorite Matthew Stafford for MVP. They're doing it in a very tough division. They're a wild card team though right now. Sean McVay is one of the best head coaches. Defensively, they're legit as well. I trust them. They also have these first three teams I'm going to tell you have quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls. So Stafford, Mahomes with the Chiefs, Stafford with the Rams. The Eagles will still be one. They got the division basically locked up already. Jalen Hurts has won a ring, even if they're boring as heck to watch, man. They're so boring. I also went with the Packers. I know they lost last night. I still think there's enough talent there to get it done. I have the Bucks and I had the Bills. And I know you're saying, where are the Patriots and all? This is my dilemma was, all right, do I have 8 or 9 on my list? Because the Patriots who just beat the Bucks, you might say, well, how are the Bucks on there? It, to me, is still the fact that it's a second year starting quarterback, a coach that we all respect, but it's his first year back. Their schedule has been soft. Their most impressive win might have been the one they just had, actually, against Tampa, and I'm concerned about their defense. So I think we're all going to have different lists, but if I have to narrow it down and I'm not allowed to pick 8 or 9, then that would be my list.
Yeah, I don't have the Colts or the Patriots on my list either. I've got the Chiefs, who you mentioned, the Bills. I've got the Eagles, the Rams, the Seahawks on my list, and my justification for that is that Sam Darnold has proven that last year wasn't a fluke, to me. At this point, they got a great running back duo with Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet. I think their defense is underrated league wide. And right now, we talked about the Rams being a real contender in the NFC. What right now, they don't lead their own division. The Seattle Seahawks do. And then, you know, the other team I've got is the Detroit Lions. Yeah, they had a really disappointing, embarrassing loss, I would say, to the Commanders in the divisional round last year. But I think that they might be the most talented team in the NFC. And when I look at the way Jared Goff has played this year with Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams and Laporta and that backfield duo, this Lions defense is starting to get healthier, especially in the secondary. If they can be at full tilt on that side of the football when it comes playoff time, I like what the Lions can do in the NFC. And you talk about the Colts and the Patriots. I'm just not sure what you could see in a playoff setting. You know, guys that are having breakout years when they get into the playoffs for the first time, it doesn't always work very well. Look at what Sam Darnold did with a real letdown against the Lions in the last week of the regular season last year with the division on the line and then that first round playoff game. What is it going to look like for Daniel Jones having the best year of his career with the struggles he's had over the last 2 weeks? And Drake May has never been here before. He's never been on a winning NFL team, let alone in a playoff game, regardless of whether you're at home or on the road. Winning a game in October is incredibly different than winning in January.
Drew, you had a few more teams than we did.
Yes, I did. If you want me to limit it down, to four, then I would say it's the Chiefs to me, the Colts, the Seahawks, and the Rams is who I would say comfortably would be my four. I think for Drake May, and I understand why you would say what you're saying, Logan, with Drake May, and well, yeah, it's different winning in the playoffs. I get it. It just feels like this. It's not like it can't be done, and maybe Drake May's not this guy, but it feels like if you've got that juice, I think that can elevate teams, and we're gonna find out. I would say this year if Drake May can be that guy. Where let's say they do make the playoffs and they're a three seed, and let's say they win the division. And they go to an AFC title game, forget even making it to the Super Bowl or anything, but if they make it to an AFC title game, then I think he's proven to some extent that he is that guy, and they just need to continue to build around him, and who knows what can happen in the future. But I get the premise of, well, he hasn't been there yet, so who knows? But I also think it's, if he's that guy, we're going to find out this year. And I think the Patriots, if I had to pick a team that's after those four, the Patriots might be in that mix along. I think they're better than the Bills to me. And it's not even a Josh Allen thing. It's more of I don't trust that they have a full unit, a full team that when it comes down to it can win games when your defense has to get stops consistently. It doesn't feel like they're capable of being that team.
Yeah, so if I expanded mine out, I would take the Patriots as closer to being a contender than the Colts. You know my feeling there. I understand that. I don't trust Daniel Jones. Now you're saying, yeah, but I trust Drake May. That's why neither one is on my is on my list. But I would go with the Patriots over what the Colts are, in my opinion. I still believe Daniel Jones the last 2 weeks with seven turnovers is my example. While they're 1-1 in those games, could have lost against Atlanta. They did not. That's my concern with the Colts. I think you're right. You said we'll get our answer later on this year, and it's true on Drake May. He's having an MVP type season. He's the co-favorite. I will, until proven otherwise, I will still go with guys I trust. Now, eventually,
Drake May
might end up, like, this time next year, he might be someone like, yeah, I trust him. He won two playoff games or whatever it might be in his second year as a starter. But right now, and what you said about the Bills is correct. They are not a complete team. They are very much flawed, despite beating Kansas City. The Chiefs are a flawed football team as well. Josh Allen is coming off a terrible game, but I still trust Josh Allen more than Daniel Jones, even if the team around him is better. I know that sounds crazy, but like, I would still, in a head-to-head game, I guess that's how we could do this. Head-to-head, divisional round game in Indianapolis, Bills at Colts. How confident are you in taking the Colts in that game?
Not at all.
You're raising your hand, you would take the Colts, but how confident are you?
60-40.
Okay.
I think they'd beat him.
They would be slight. The Colts would be slight favorites. I don't think they'd be big favorites at all. They'd be like 2.5-point favorites over the Bills, is what I'm saying. Like, if the Chiefs were going to, how about if the Chiefs were going to Indy divisional round weekend?
Oh, I pick the Colts or the Chiefs.
Okay.
Probably. I would lean Chiefs and probably say 60-40 Chiefs actually in that one. Just because I think, it's coaching. It's the quarterback stuff, I think. It's also just the overall team and everything like that as well that collectively makes me think, regardless of who the Chiefs play, honestly, I probably am picking them to win the game regardless. It just feels like that. It makes sense. You would lean in that direction because of what we've seen historically. We're also, I know historically the Bills have been good, but it just feels different this season. It not that it feels like it's a passing of the torch, essentially, from division winner to a new one at the Patriots, but it feels like, collectively, from the coach to the team to Drake May already beating and outplaying Josh Allen in that game that they had already, it feels like this team in Buffalo's not good enough to get the job done, and it's a collection of everything.
But I also saw, while we could argue the Chiefs didn't play well against Buffalo, I give the Bills a ton of credit in that game. To me, that was their A game, right? The joke is, of course, it was the Bills Super Bowl. When the Bills are, like, I did just see, though, the Bills at their best, and they are still capable of beating anybody, in my opinion. But they have to play their best, right? Like that the Chiefs got in the first half in particular against Buffalo, that was the A-plus game for the Buffalo Bills. And so, like, it's still there. And so I would still trust Josh Allen and the Bills when it matters most in the biggest moment over a quarterback that, for the exception of 9 weeks this NFL season, has really never played at this level. Talk about Daniel Jones. Drake May, kind of the same thing. Like, I think long term, we all are saying, I think agreeing that Drake May is going to be part of this conversation. I just don't know if he's there yet. That's why earlier we were mentioning, you know, now it was the second year as a starter for Patrick Mahomes when he won the Super Bowl, but his second year in the league, his first year as a starter, he hosted an AFC title game and lost to Tom Brady. So the Patriots, maybe they're hosting an AFC title game. How confident are you not, you know, taking Patrick Mahomes on the road in that game against Drake May, if that's what it comes to?
I feel like, I mean, part of this might be the fact that the relation to my Bengals fandom and the fact that Joe Burrow, off that, he had a rookie season, tore his ACL, PCL, everything. The next year, he went on the road and beat everybody to get to the Super Bowl in his second year. It felt like that to me is, not that Drake May is on that same trajectory, but it feels like the team might be in terms
that
of...
That offense is not, as you would admit.
In terms of how we view these two teams, though, or those two teams, yeah. It feels like collectively the Patriots are a better team than that one that Joe Burrow took to go to the Super Bowl. Is why can't Drake May also get to that level where I think just collectively...
I mean, he certainly could. I would just say, and you would agree with this, you're the Bengals guy, as much as Drake May looks awesome, and he does... the Bengals offense that year was way better than what the Patriots skill, like it's not even close to the weapons. Like Joe Burrow did it, but like to get to where he had, they had a ridiculous amount of weapons to work with. Drake May is still his number one receiver is who? Booty?
Yes, but like, I mean, in fairness, Joe Burrow also got sacked 90 times or 70 times.
I get that, but he was throwing to Jamar Chase and T. Higgins.
And Drake May's been sacked a ton. I think he's the second most sacked quarterback in football this year.
So I think, again, from a collection standpoint, it feels like the two teams are very similar, and maybe that's why I'm buying into the Patriots and Drake May more than I am Josh Allen, but I think that's part of it for sure.
All right, let's get to it.
All 32. Duh. I had a blank moment in my mind, but I was like, oh, what are we doing here?
There we go. There it is. Let's go.
Come on, Drew, wake up.
We were talking about Cincinnati. We got you fired up. And then, you know, all right. For me on all 32, I want to talk about coaching in for a second and what I think is about to happen. So we know that Daboll was let go by the Giants. There's the track record that he had with Josh Allen, which was very good in Buffalo. This feels like Bills offensive coordinator currently, Joe Brady, goes and becomes a head coach in college or maybe even the NFL, but I think college is in play again. Maybe even Penn State, Drew. Then Daboll goes back to Buffalo and reunites with Josh Allen. Doesn't that feel like the obvious track here? That Daboll, who basically got a head coaching gig with the Giants because of how good he was with Josh Allen. In Kansas City as an OC, he stunk. Okay, he's terrible. But he was very good with Allen. He becomes a head coach. Had one good year with Daniel Jones. We all know how it's been since. I feel like Daboll very likely is the OC in Buffalo next year.
I could definitely, if Joe Brady does leave, which I believe he will. I mean, his stock is maybe never going to be higher than it is right now. And with the amount of NFL openings that there are going to be by the time this season is done, at least in my view, it all makes sense on paper, and it's become a lot more of a trend in the National Football League for guys to go back where they were previously. I mean, I think the only thing that could possibly prevent that is, one, Joe Brady doesn't leave Buffalo, which I think is unlikely, or number two, the Bills struggle down the stretch and maybe fail to get where they ultimately want to go again, and they make a change at the top. And Sean McDermott is let go as the head coach of the Buffalo Bills. All right, mine that I've got for all 22 is, you've mentioned Matthew Stafford's name a couple times.
Yeah.
I think he's the NFL MVP. I mean, four touchdown passes and no picks in three consecutive games. That's never been done before in the history of the league. 25 touchdown passes this season. Two interceptions. He's top five in passing yards. He's in the top 10 among qualified quarterbacks in completion percentage. This is a guy who's never even been an all-pro in his career. I think it would be very befitting of a guy who belongs in the NFL Hall of Fame to finally get that moniker next to him when you see guys that have had lackluster years in comparison to years past with Lamar and Josh Allen and even Patrick Mahomes kind of taking steps back a little bit. This feels like the kind of year for Matthew Stafford, the way he's playing with the Rams. I think he's the MVP.
If he stays healthy, I think there's a really good chance he wins. We're going to talk about this more tomorrow. The door is not shut on Josh Allen or Mahomes still winning this thing, by the way. Like, I understand right now they are not in the driver's seat, but it is not closed on either of those two guys. There's way too much football left.
Yep.
Big time games left for both these teams. But both are going to have to win their division, as we know that. If you want to win MVP, you have to win your division. And that also applies to that my only pushback on Stafford. Like, they have to win the division over Seattle. And right now, Seattle is ahead. All right.
It is interesting, too, because, I mean, if Stafford gets ring number two, where does he jump to the all-time quarterback stuff? Because statistically, he's that dude, obviously, going all the way back to his time in Detroit. I mean, does he jump, like, in terms of the all-time greats? Is he better than Terry Bradshaw? Is he better than, I mean, I know that he has a lot of rings, but he might even already be a better talent anyways. But I think that's a fun little conversation. My all 32 is that NFL coaches should, or NFL teams should, avoid hiring the college coach. Sark's name has kind of been out there. He was asked about it a few weeks ago. I think he would be a terrible choice to be an NFL head coach. Not that I don't like Sark or anything like that, but it feels like college to NFL, it's a different game. I don't know how much NFL experience Sark even has to begin with. You're dealing with it doesn't feel like a fit to me where it feels like college football makes some sense. Lane Kiffin, a couple of people have mentioned, well, the Giants job because of Jackson Dart.
Lane Kiffin, I would agree. In the NFL, Lane Kiffin, no.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think Lane Kiffin works in the – it just feels like to me – not that the games are so far apart as the main reason, but I feel like it's – certain, I don't know if there's any NFL coach right now that you could name that I would feel confident in taking an NFL job in more than anybody else who you would
any college
potentially
coach?
Bring in. Yeah, I mean, like if Kalen DeBoer, that doesn't fit to me. I don't think that works. I don't know if Sark works. I don't know if there's anybody else who you even could come up with. Dan Lanning.
Dan Lanning is the only guy I thought of.
But I don't think is Dan Lanning. He doesn't.
It doesn't feel like it to me.
It doesn't feel like it, yeah.
He's definitely more of a player's coach, which is difficult to navigate in the National Football League.
He's at Oregon. When you it's go all from, that, like, there's no reason for him to leave anyways, but...
Yeah, he followed the trajectory of Chip Kelly. We all saw how that panned out going from Oregon to the NFL.
That's another good example. Saban's the only one where it worked to a set.
Wow.
You know, and honestly, it was working until he didn't get Drew Brees, and then he was like, yeah, screw this, I'm out.
Jim Harbaugh, Pete Carroll, and
Harbaugh is another
sort
one, of
Nick Saban are the too. Only ones that That's really it. Have had success.
All right, that is all 32. Up next, let's talk more about Noah Cameron finishing fourth in Rookie of the Year and the value he has across baseball. I'll explain next.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ark Raiders. A multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, combining raw power with precision engineering, all backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. Climb inside a Tundra and experience the uncompromising strength. With its available iForce Max engine, the Tundra delivers exceptional power, torque, and towing capacity. Plus, the spacious and high-tech cabin keeps you connected on the run. Or check out a Tacoma. Agile, dependable, and unstoppable. The Tacoma's designed for those who go beyond the trails. Stay ahead of the pack with available off-road features like crawl control. Or break out your tunes with the available portable JBL speaker. Toyota trucks are built to last, year after year, mile after mile. So outlast every adventure and outlive the moment. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer to find out more. Toyota, let's go places.
These nerd gummy cluster things, my goodness, so addicting. I bought a bag during the break. I don't know how many I already ate during the break.
They're dangerous.
They're amazing.
Because like, they're just
addicting.
So, they're small. They're so you forget about it. You think you didn't eat much of anything, and you realize you've consumed the entire bag in one sitting.
He claims there's 5 servings in each one of these, and a serving is 16 pieces. I think I had a serving during the break. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure I've had all 5 servings in about 25 minutes before.
Yeah, and those things are addicting. I needed a little sugar rush during the show. That's all. Nate Taylor expected to join us at 1 o'clock today, as he does each and every Tuesday. So we hope to have Nate from ESPN hop on the show, talk a little bit about not only Chiefs Broncos, but where things are at after Andy Reid's presser yesterday, heading into tomorrow and practice, and Josh Simmons and Isaiah Pacheco. And if he agrees with us on Xavier Worthy and his production at this point and what they might try to do moving forward. Before we get to the random question of the day, Drew has one for us today. He did not tell us. He said, you'll have to find out, which is always a little bit nerve-wracking, but we'll learn together here in just a little bit. I want to talk about Noah Cameron. So Noah Cameron, hey, he's 4th in Rookie of the Year voting. Congratulations to him. Awesome season. Best American League rookie pitcher in baseball, I would argue, too, not just the American League. But the conversation around him, I think, for the next couple months should be the value that he brings not only to you, the Royals, as an organization with all the control and the great year he had, great story out of nowhere, but the value he has in bringing you something that you desperately need after last season. That, of course, is outfield, outfield bat, a legit MLB bat. And maybe you have to package Cameron and Blake Mitchell. And I know that scares people off a little bit, but he has the most value of anybody on your pitching staff. He just does. Cole Reagans, who looked really good in his final 3 outings after the injury, one, I don't think the Royals want to move him, but also he, to me, is not going to bring you back as much as you would think. Chris Bubich is hurt, hasn't pitched in a while, not going to see him pitch until spring training. Burkert, I don't think you're going to get enough back, but he does have multiple years of control, which is intriguing. You have Seth Lugo, who we all know, if you were going to trade him, you would have traded him at the deadline. Michael Wacha, great pitcher. You're just not going to get much back on the trademark. It's weird. Like, they have a very, very strong rotation. Yet, to me, Noah Cameron's the only one that would possibly, in a package deal, bring me back something that I need. And that is a legit outfielder to help solve this outfield problem. So I know everybody freaks out when you talk about trading anybody that's good. You have to give up good pieces to get good pieces back. And I don't believe they're going to be in the waters of spending $100+ million on a free agent outfielder. Look, I would love Kyle Schwarber. Hell yeah, I would. I don't think they're getting Kyle Schwarber. They're not getting Kyle Tucker.
Mm-mm.
They're not, you know what I mean? Cody Bellinger. If it's not my money, I'll spend $200 million to make it happen, but I don't believe the Royals are going to do that. They have not shown through free agency ever they're going to do that. It's one thing when, for the first time ever, they handed out the money they did to Bobby Wood Jr., right? Great deal, by the way.
Yeah.
But in free agency, not a homegrown player, they don't do that. And so the only way I see them really improving the outfield is via trade, and their best asset is Noah Cameron. And Blake Mitchell, I guess, if you want to package him.
As much as I would love to disagree with you, because I like Noah Cameron, I can't. I believe that you are right, because it's sort of this chicken and the egg type of scenario where the things that you love about Noah Cameron and the things that would allow for the Royals to keep him around is also the thing that increases his trade value exponentially. Coming off of a great rookie year, he's got five more years. He hasn't even hit 1 year of MLB service time yet. He's got so much team control left under him as a cheap, reliable front end, you know, I shouldn't say front end, but middle to back end of your rotation, that is a phenomenal piece for anybody. Cole Reagans has been banged up. As good as he's been at times, he's got the injury history, which lowers his trade value. Same thing with Chris Bubich. You've got the age restrictions with guys like Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha, plus the big extensions that you gave those two guys, and Burgert and Kolek just haven't proven it enough to this point. So he's the one that makes the most sense. And if you're the Royals, you know how close you are right now with the guys that you have already on this roster, with how well Vinny played last year. You've got Salvi for two more years. You've got a top five player in baseball in Bobby Witt Jr. Mikel Garcia is coming off of a career year. Kyle Isbell is this team's center fielder. Cags is going to be in right. We know, after hearing J.J. Piccolo, you know, at the end of the season, saying they want Jonathan India to be the everyday second baseman. Left field is where the improvement has to be made. And you can't go after a guy who was a top prospect at left field and try to make it work. You need a guy to try to take that next step as a team to become a true contender in the American League. It has to be a proven bat at the major league level. And there's only a handful of those guys that you can legitimately go out and get. And in order to do that, it likely means giving up a pitcher the caliber of somebody like a Noah Cameron. You pick Noah Cameron, Blake Mitchell, package them together, send them to Boston for Jaron Duran.
Well, I would like that. I would certainly be interested in that. From the text line, 913-586-7965, someone says, hey, we finally get a homegrown young pitcher under control. Everyone wants to trade him, keep all the old guys with injury history. So I understand the sentiment. What I would push back on would be, I actually now feel like the Royals as an organization have shown me that they can not only develop pitching, they can evaluate it at a big league level and make smart transactions, right? Cole Reagans was acquired in the Chapman trade. The Burger trade looks to be pretty decent at this point in time as well. They've done a nice job at finding big league talent at other teams that are undervalued, I guess, by those organizations, and turning them into very impressive pitchers. Sometimes it's a quick tweak, whatever it may be. Brian Sweeney is one of the best in the game. I'm glad to hear that he's not going anywhere this offseason. So that's why I'm more willing than ever to part ways with young starting pitching, because I believe they have shown now that they can potentially develop it, but also, you know, find it, evaluate it at the big league level, versus clearly there's been an issue still at finding that outfield hitting talent to this point. Now, look, this all gets a lot simpler if Jack Caglione turns out to be who they think he can be a year ago when they drafted him, or over a year ago now. You get the point. So that solves all of that. But I get the worry of, like, oh, you trade this guy, then what happens? Like, they have a ton of depth, and you would say last year they had a bunch of injuries. Going into the season, though, I don't want some of these names, though, to start in AAA, and they're not even pitching for you for much of the year, and you didn't solve your outfield. Like, we all agree, every single person I'm sure listening agrees, that the outfield was their biggest problem last year, and we all think they need to address it, right? I just am not convinced that they're going to be able to, you know, effectively address that in free agency. So the only path I see is trade, and therefore you have to give up something to get something that you're going to actually think can help you. And I'm telling you that I don't think Chris Bubich gets you what you need. I don't think anybody else on the pitching staff, including Cole Reagans, gets you what you need. So therefore, Noah Cameron is, I guess, the casualty in all of this, if you will. But the reason why he has all the value is because he has all the control. So we'll see how it plays out. I just want to see someone put together a plan that doesn't involve trading Noah Cameron, that gets me an outfielder that you guys are excited about that's starting in left field or wherever for you next year.
Yeah, and we're sitting here talking about the hypotheticals of other pitchers on the Royals getting hurt if you trade Noah Cameron. Let's talk about the hypothetical if you keep Noah Cameron and he gets hurt. This is a guy who was on pitch limits. This is a guy who was given specific rest and missed starts throughout the course of the year because there were concerns about his own health. So this isn't a guarantee one way or the other. This is what you do in the realm of sports. Sometimes you have to take chances. And with somebody like Noah Cameron, as much team control as he has, and you'd love to keep him around, that's also why MLB teams would like to trade for him and why his value is higher than those guys with injury concerns. It's not that, I'm sure the Royals would love to try to trade maybe Chris Bubich and Blake Mitchell to get Jaren Duran. But the value of Chris Bubich isn't where it is with Noah Cameron right now because there's too many injury concerns over the course of his career to justify it.
And just because the Brady Singer, Jonathan India trade did not turn out the way you would have liked it to turn out with Jonathan India, does that mean like you should be fearful of them ever making another trade involving big league talent already? That's all I'm saying. Like, and I hope Noah Cameron has a great career, right? He was awesome last year. There's part of me that, is not even just the injury stuff, Logan. Like, I would still just be concerned. Like, the numbers he put up last year, there's a good chance, and they were great numbers, that he never does that again. And by the way, I don't even need him to do that again exactly, right, if we're being fair. Otherwise, he's going to be competing for Cy Young's multiple years, and I don't think anybody believes that's actually going to happen. But this is not, it's not even so much that I think he's just going to regress, although he might. It is more like, hey, he is super valuable to every other team in baseball as well. Let me go get something to address the main issue this team had a year ago. Otherwise, you guys know my biggest fear heading into this upcoming season is that they're essentially going to run it all back and hope that two new hitting coaches and guys that were regressing last year just regress back to the mean in a good way. And everybody else that had great years, Mikel Garcia, are all just going to be that next year or this year. Like, I'm not saying that Mikel's falling off a cliff. He was awesome. But expecting him to do that exact same thing again, that's a very optimistic way to approach it. When you're also going to tell me that guys that didn't have great years are all going to just have better years. Like, that's a very optimistic way and a risky way to head in to 2026. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you're asking a lot of the top half of this lineup that played so well a year ago, and it still wasn't enough. And you're expecting them to put together exact replicas of what they did a year ago. I as much as I love Vinny and as great a year as he had, I don't expect Vinny Pasquantino to be a 30 home run, 100 RBI guy for the next half decade. I don't expect Mikel Garcia to hit 300 every year. You need additional help to try to alleviate some of the issues in the lower part of that organization. And we're talking about Noah Cameron, this hotshot prospect who just came in.
But here's the thing. He wasn't a hotshot prospect.
Wasn't.
Like, he was, like, with all due respect to him, that, look, it doesn't matter anymore. He's now in the big leagues pitching. It doesn't matter what his prospect ranking was now, technically. But this was not some guy that was a highly touted prospect. I don't believe he was in the top 100 prospect list until he made a few starts.
Correct.
Or whatever it was.
Meanwhile, you've got Ben Cadorna sitting down there just biding his time, a guy who could possibly see his MLB debut next year as a guy that you could look at as depth to justify trading away Noah Cameron on top of the tons of MLB arms you already have.
This will be the conversation the rest of the offseason. Like, this will not be the last time we talk about Noah Cameron or any other pitcher potentially getting traded. This is, to me, like, one of the biggest questions over the next month and a half, 2 months. Like, are they willing? Is there an offer that makes sense out there to move on from one of these pitchers to go acquire an outfielder? And all I'm saying is I think Noah Cameron presents the most. I'll push back on one text, and then we'll get to random question of the day from the 816. From the 816, teams that win don't sacrifice, they acquire. I disagree with that. There's the Blue Jays didn't give up young talent before last season. I, with all due respect, I just disagree with the comp. The Blue Jays had the fifth highest payroll in baseball last year. So you're right. The Blue Jays did not have to go trade. You're exactly right. The Blue Jays did not have to give up young talent to get to where they were because they had the fifth largest payroll in baseball. You're right. The Royals do not have to trade Noah Cameron. If you can tell me that John Sherman and the Royals are going to be in the waters for Kyle Tucker, for Cody Bellinger, for Kyle Schwarber, if you think they're going to sign the largest contract in free agent history for this club, then you're right. And I would love to be wrong that they're going to do that. I'll give it like a 5% chance that any of those names that I mentioned are in Kansas City in April.
I think, and I don't know, I don't remember if it was JJ when we had him on or if it was Vinny last week too when you were out, Cole, but I think it was Vinny that said, you know, John Sherman is one of the best owners in sports in terms of being aggressive. Like, I think, like, he wants to win. And I think that obviously having an owner that wants to win and is willing to make some moves. It feels like, based on what JJ has said as well, that we're going to see a move we're going to see we're going to see them run to try to get somebody. It's just, again, do the numbers match up correctly and all the other things that come along, of course, with signing somebody.
Random question.
Random question of the day brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. All right.
For you, Gold. For you, Logan. Also, the text line, 913-586-7965. Let's get deep.
Gosh.
You know, I think we should have a deeper question here.
Okay.
All right. Would you rather? I feel like this is a really, really interesting one. It's a good old "Would you rather" brought to you by ChatGPT.
Oh no!
Oh God!
hang on.
AI's asking the questions now.
AI's technically asking the questions, courtesy of them. Would you rather lose all your memories or never be able to make new ones? I feel like this is a very difficult question. And I saw this one that popped out a bunch of them. And I feel like this is very difficult because if you lose all your memories, you technically, you don't know who you are. Like at this point, your memories make who you are, but also never being able to make new ones. You're just reliving the past over and over and over again. It feels like this is a difficult one.
This is an interesting question. I think on the surface, my answer is I would rather not be able to create new ones. I would argue you don't know what you don't have. Like, does that make sense? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
So I know, for me, it's easy. Right on the surface, I would answer, I would not want to lose the memories I already have because I know what those are. Losing future memory, I don't know what that, like, does that make sense? Like, I don't know what it is.
You're not able to make new ones. So so you're just reliving a loop, essentially, in your
memories.
Well,
when you're saying, but memory is like...
Straight up 51st dating it, huh?
Memory, sure, but I'm still able, like, on a day, like...
Yeah, sure.
I'm still on a... daily basis still able to do new things. It's not like I have to do, this is not where I have to do the same thing every day. I may not remember the great experience I have a week from now.
Yeah,
but, which is weird, but also like I don't know that experience. So I would rather have that happen than lose memories
that you
have of your childhood and other things, right?
Yeah,
I'm leaning in that same direction.
God, dude, I keep going back and forth. Like, I definitely lean towards keep the memories that I already have. But I also see, like, on the other side of it, right? Like, we're married. Like, my wife and I are having constant conversations about children. So you're telling me that if I choose to keep the memories I have right now, I will not be able to keep a memory with my future children or my future grandchildren. I won't be able to see my sister get married or my brother get married, my niece and nephew. Like those things.
What about memories you have with your parents?
But that's the right. That's the flip side of it. Okay. It's like talking about how, you know, I'll be able to remember memories with my kids, but like I won't remember how I met my wife.
Exactly.
Like, those sorts of things are.
Someone said Drew would rather have new memories, not past, because he doesn't have any memories of Bengals Super Bowl wins anyway.
Valid. Like, yeah.
Yeah, that's very true.
I forget about the Royals World Series and the Chiefs 3 Super Bowls.
In fairness, the Bengals might not win one in the future either. So it's the same feeling over again. So, I think you bring up a good point because. To the standpoint of, it's almost like waking up tomorrow and you don't remember anything, and your wife's like, "Hey, how are you?" And it's like, "Sorry, but who are you exactly?" And at that point, it's like you're recreating, you're learning who your wife is, your parents, your brother and sister. But once you gather, okay, yeah, I know who they are, then maybe you can formulate new memories,
right?
Formulate older quote unquote memories based on the conversations you have with your family members. So, I think that, you know.
This conversation is one. Earlier in the show, Drew asked the 5 NFL coaches we want to hang out with, and Drew said right away Mike McDaniel. This question is right up Mike McDaniel's alley. You guys can sit around. You guys can hang out a little bit and talk this one out for hours, I think.
You're saying Mike McDonald would... Mike McDaniel would light up some tree to this. That's what you're saying.
Damn you, ChatGPT.
I don't think that's
honestly bummed me out a little bit.
I think that it's
it's not happening. You don't need to be bummed out. It's not happening.
It's a fun hypothetical question. Someone said, keep a diary or record everything. Yeah, that's a way to do it going
forward. Someone says, all right.
Full blown Adam Sandler, Drew Barrymore, just 51st dates for the rest of eternity here. Is that what we're doing? You got to put the VHS tape in every day.
People are saying, it depends how old you are with this question. Some people said they're already losing some of their memories anyway.
Hmm. Yeah, at 27 years old, I feel like I have a lot more of my life yet to live than what I've already lived at this point. But the foundation, like forgetting the foundational moments
of your
life,
essentially, yes,
is
Yeah.
913-586-7965. Someone said from the 785, Drew saying today's question is more intellectual is, again, Cody's questions catching strays.
I didn't mean
Drew,
that.
You're thinking a little too hard on this one. Someone else says, all right, Drew, chat GPT, a new question. Give us a new question. Give us another one.
Would you rather travel the world for free or have $500,000 to spend however you want? That's a dumb question.
$500,000 to spend however I want.
That's a terrible question.
You're telling me I can pay off my mortgage and my student loans and have cash left over?
Yeah,
are you
kidding? This is $500,000 now 100%. To use for whatever.
How about this one? Would you rather have to hop everywhere or crawl everywhere? I feel like hop is the answer, but...
Hop.
I mean, he's
without question.
Crawl?
How are you going to get upstairs?
Would you rather
crawl up the stairs?
Hopping's the answer.
ChatGPT has a mind of its own. Would you rather have spaghetti for hair or sweat mayo?
Well, say it again.
Would you rather have spaghetti for hair or sweat mayo?
Spaghetti for hair.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Hair.
I'm the biggest mayonnaise hater you're ever going to find in your life.
Mayo's disgusting. Let alone sweating it out.
Would you rather sweat maple syrup or sneeze glitter? Sneezing glitter would actually be pretty lit, if you want to be honest. Like, that'd be pretty sick.
Wait, what?
That would be pretty dope.
I'd rather sneeze glitter, honestly.
Same, but okay.
Hang on a second. Let's see. Everybody in the company, we have this little area out here where there's like a little balcony to look over. If everybody's not hanging out and I'm up top and I sneeze...
There's glitter everywhere, though. What a mess.
But everybody would say, bless you.
What was the other one? Sweat syrup?
Yeah, sweat maple syrup.
Oh, well, that's just a mess. Like, that's grimace. You're going to be a sticky and... That's a mess. Honestly, think about that. The clothes would stick to your body.
Shout out to ChatGPT for some random. It fits random question. A good old would you rather.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
This is not shade because Cody is genuinely thinking of these. I said, hey, can you come up with some of these for me?
You and ChatGPT.
Can you come up with some of these
tomorrow? Binkson. Well, maybe let Bink.
Should we go to ChatGPT tomorrow?
Yes, actually. Well, Thursday is Professor Bink because Tap's out. So Thursday is another lesson.
Mercy. Okay.
Yeah. It's either that or we save that for Logan. It can be Professor Weber.
Let's go.
You're a substitute teacher.
I am a substitute teacher.
And then we can do Snitchline Thursday instead.
Hang on. So Miss Dugan would not consider Logan a real teacher then? I would presume.
Yeah, because he's a sub.
A sub,
I don't consider myself a real teacher either.
Oh, even more? Okay.
I'm a glorified babysitter.
Maybe on Friday when you're back, we'll talk more about your subbing. I want to find out what
professors count in your mind, Logan.
Do what?
Do adjunct professors count?
Yeah,
as
adjunct professor is a teacher. Yes.
That's the random question.
Absolutely.
Someone says, would you have to shove pancakes in your armpits to stop the syrup? All right. Up next, we had to move around Nate Taylor. He's unfortunately not going to join us today. We'll have to hopefully have him back next week. Or later this week on the show. I want to talk about something that Major League Baseball announced this past, 18 hours or so, and it could impact baseball and how you really take in the sport moving forward. Plus, we'll also get back into some of the things Andy Reid had to say yesterday.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground, but Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
The
Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.